The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Don't we want our children to know that slavery was wrong, as I fight against slavery today that still exists? Don't we want our children to understand the basis of all of our history, the mosaicness of this nation and African American history?
Mr. King Jr., what else do they want to ban? They want to ban a book called Melissa, a book describing, in very personal terms, the experience of a trans girl. Extreme MAGA Republicans don't want your child to learn about the LGBTQ plus experience.
I say that as a mom of a trans kid, and I was very embracing to my daughter when she came out, but not every family is. The reality is 75% of trans kids experience discrimination and harassment. So why do Republicans want schools to require outing LGBTQ students?
Extreme MAGA Republicans don't want the children of America to learn about the Holocaust.
They are asking the Republican Party to keep culture wars out of classrooms. Our children need urgent and aggressive educational solutions. When we talk about progressive values, I can say what my progressive value is, and that is freedom over fascism.
Send in the clowns. That's as the world burns, as I said earlier this week. The world going up in flames. And these people, I saw a discussion on The View, a little clip that was sent to me this morning. You know, these people talking about trans rights and basically giving you a sweep from, you know, what they were like as children to what it's like today. And of course, today it's so much better, they say, because we've progressed so far. Now we can just kind of waltz around the house in the nude, right in front of our children, said one woman. I mean, what a sick world this has become. And it's happening. You know, these are the hot topics being debated today. As I say, as the world goes up in flames. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us for the final show of the week. Can you believe it? Friday is upon us. If you watch this show live, just go to trumpetdaily.com. And that takes you to the live stream, which you can watch every weekday morning. That's 11 a.m. here in the central time zone of the United States. Of course, you can go to our websites also to watch the show on demand when it's most convenient for you. You can have these programs, in most cases, downloaded to your devices as well. So I've focused on, well, that one article, I forget where it was from, but it was basically talking about the trans movement and how it's going right through the red states as well. The sins, in other words, the sins of Israel. I've referred you to prophecies in Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28. We've gone through Isaiah 1. Today, hopefully, we'll get into Isaiah 3 and some other verses. But God said the sickness in Israel, it's through and through. And meanwhile, you have Russia and China banding together. Richard wrote in the morning brief about all of the protests in France, which, you know, for France, I guess, is not unusual. But you've got parts of Paris going up in flames. And as Richard noted in the brief, now they're starting to take to the streets in Germany, which is a bit unusual. There was news just today on the Deutsche Bank crisis, which should not be surprising given what's happening in the United States, given what's happened to Credit Suisse just a few days ago. The ripple effect of this banking crisis, I think it's the Deutsche Bank has its shares have fallen by 14%. Richard noted in his news stack this morning. And then you have the Bloomberg piece this morning, Janet Yellen calls Friday FSOC meeting after banking sector turmoil. It says here in the article, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen will convene the heads of top U.S. financial regulators Friday morning for a previously unscheduled meeting. There was no meeting scheduled previously, but now there is. So they say everything's fine. When they're in front of the cameras, they tell you it's never been stronger, the economy. But they know, behind closed doors, they know that these are earth-shaking developments. You know, interest rates that continue to go up and these regional banks just being crushed because of it. Listen to, this is a montage from just yesterday. This is just the talking heads talking about the economy here in the U.S., clip 7.
Is this really a banking crisis? Joe, you know what it is. It's a Fed crisis. It's a rate hiking crisis. It's a crisis built on a crisis we never solved. How could anybody be shocked? I was shocked that the news wasn't worse 3 months ago, 2 months ago. Now we're starting to see the realities of it.
I mean, we've had 8 interest rate increases over the past year. The fastest rate of interest rate increases we have seen since the 1980s. And, you know, there's a lag time. There is so much uncertainty in the economy right now. There's so much fear. And the waves are getting larger and larger. Banking is now about 35% to 40% of the entire economy, whereas 40 years ago it was 15% of the entire economy. Banking is exciting, and as long as it's exciting, it's dangerous.
So you have the biggest customer of the whole economy, the federal government across the hill, spending money as fast as they can, and they're not actually changing their spending patterns based on his interest rate raises. So the only place he's going to impact is private enterprise. That the OCC and the government, the Treasury, and the Fed oversaw, and they didn't even stress test these banks if rates rose. So they should have been the first ones to see what they were doing to the regional banks. And you wind up in a really bad place, which you can see. You do not have to see the car hit the wall to know that it's going 8,000 miles an hour, and it will hit the wall. It will most hit the wall. I've always focused with you.
When you say hit the wall, the car hit the wall, you mean the commercial real estate market with the office
building? I mean, the economy will have a hard landing. I mean that this he is using a steamroller to get the price of milk down 2 cents. He's just to kill a small fly.
That last commentator there talking about the rates increase 8 times over the last year. And really what it does is it curbs spending and lending. You know, again, among the banks and among the private enterprise, as he said there. But the government continues to spend away, continues to print trillions of dollars. No problem. No change. Here you've got crisis upon crisis, as I said yesterday. You've got a problem from 2008 that's made worse because they never did address the cause of the problem. And the government just continuing to spend like drunken sailors, to spend trillions and trillions of dollars. Whatever they discuss in the meeting that Yellen has called for today, be assured that it's just going to be another Band-Aid here and there, and that's about it. As the world burns, Melanie Phillips had a great piece today about some of the protests in Little Israel in the Middle East. Benjamin Netanyahu, it's very similar. It's a similar story to what we're seeing in this country with President Trump. The judiciary just constantly attacking Netanyahu. And so he's back in office and he wants to bring about some reforms in the judiciary. He wants to bring about reforms in the courts so that they can't be so politicized. And the reaction from the radical left, it's just unhinged, you know, threat to democracy, just like you hear here in the United States. For Donald Trump to say, look, we need to drain the swamp. We need to get rid of this deep state that's just attacking political opponents. And then as if right on cue, Joe Scarborough will start screaming that he's attacking democracy. It's another insurrection. Netanyahu and Melanie Phillips goes through this in some detail in her piece. All of the reforms that Netanyahu wants, he basically just wants to dial things back to what it was three decades ago. None of it is ridiculous. It's the reaction that's unhinged. It makes you, again, appreciate tomorrow's news today. This is the latest issue of the Trumpet magazine. You can see the phone number there at the bottom of the screen, 1-866-930-3024. But are Satan and the demons real? They're stirring up so much hatred. They're stirring up so much strife, so much violence. Melanie Phillips writes, Israel's current maelstrom is not in the pattern of normal political a normal political protest. It represents an existential upset. The focus of opposition is the proposed judicial reforms. The protests are also fueled, however, by fear of the nationalist and religious ultras in the governing coalition and by hatred of Netanyahu, who for some people has achieved near demonic status. Just the hatred. You know, we're talking about Trump deranged syndrome, Trump derangement. It's the same over there. And you wonder how much of the protest over there, the resistance against Netanyahu, is funded by or supported by Joe Obama and his people. They have hated Netanyahu almost as much as Trump for years. I mean, this goes back to the Obama years. And as I went through recently, all the times that Joe Obama and his people have meddled in elections abroad. They would love to see Netanyahu destroyed. It says here, significant as these factors are, a convulsion of this magnitude suggests that something even more fundamental is at play. What is striking about the protests, listen to this from Melanie Phillips, what's striking about the protests is the irrationality at their core. They're just irrational. They're just deranged. They're just unhinged. What's behind this? It says here, although there are legitimate concerns about aspects of the reform package, the overwrought opposition to it is out of all proportion. How do you explain it? How do you explain this? This irrational response. So as I say, she goes through all the criticism of the reforms, basically says he just wants to return it to the way the judiciary functioned back in 1993, so what, 3 decades ago? And this has the radical left, I mean, their heads are exploding, to just go back 3 decades. I mean, the way they see it, it's like the ladies on The View. I mean, we've progressed so much since 1993. If you think about the spiritual component to this story, again, Satan being cast down along with his demons in 1986, confined now to this earth, Revelation 12. You know what's behind this movement to crush conservatism or traditional values. You know who's behind the attack. This is Stephen Miller. He was on with Tucker last night. Listen to this, clip 5.
Let's be very clear about what's happening here, and you've talked about it. Is we are now living in a post-Constitution, post-truth era where progressive Soros-backed prosecutors will decide for themselves who is free and who is not, who goes to jail and who doesn't, who can speak freely, who cannot speak freely, who is allowed to exist and do business in this country, and who must be crushed into the earth and ultimately destroyed. And if we allow our legal system to become weaponized in this way, then all of our freedoms exist solely on the sufferance of whichever prosecutor is in charge wherever we live.
Unjust prosecutors, unjust judges. Again, I went through the prophecy in Micah 3, Micah 7. You read Habakkuk 1. This is all prophesied. The post-constitutional age or era, as Miller brought out last night. This is from my father's article again. Tomorrow's News Today, this is an article from 2009. If you aren't subscribing to The Trumpet, make sure you call our operators today and request your free subscription. But my father wrote back in January of 2009, he says, what happens if you don't have a constitution to hold back the liberal left? You remember Obama complaining about how it was this charter of restraints? They don't want restraints. They want their progressive movement to just barrel ahead without any delay. I mean, you've got to give them credit. It's like Tucker said last night. They're all robots. They think exactly the same way, and they assume that there's safety in numbers. If we just kind of go along with the pack, whether it's the lockdowns with COVID or the vaccines or the view, the narrative that we're supposed to take away from January 6th, I mean, they're just all not in agreement. It really and truly is Orwellian. Just go along with the pack, the mob, the crowd. Says here, but what kind of decisions do you think he will make in office? He speaks of Obama, who was then coming into office at that time. What kind of judges do you think he will appoint? Judges who will uphold the Constitution? No. He's going to appoint judges who will reject parts of the Constitution and remove its restraints so liberals can do whatever they want with the government. That's from an article in 2009. I mean, you're seeing these testimonies, these committee hearings for judges to be appointed for this or this. There's one at the Supreme Court level that knows nothing really about the Constitution. There was one just the other day who knew nothing about some kind of a legal policy or principle that he should be schooled in. There's just so much ignorance, and it's just all about the agenda. It's about equality. It's about race. It's about gender. They talk about it on The View. They talk about it in the House of Representatives. That's all that matters anymore to these people. And then if Netanyahu or anyone comes along and says, hey, we got to get rid of this judicial activism, they scream. They lose their minds. Melanie Phillips, she talks about some of the traditions in the West, and she concentrates here, which this is interesting, certainly if you understand anything about the U.S. and Britain in prophecy. I've mentioned this a few times this week, but she talks about the Judeo-Christian traditions of the United States and Britain and Little Judah in the Middle East. She says here, the Davidic monarchy became the template for the British crown. She's commented on some of this before, but again, with respect to U.S. and Britain in prophecy, it's always amazing to hear this coming from a commentator, and one that knows us fairly well, by the way. She attended the grand opening of the Institute over in Jerusalem not that long ago, back in September, where my father spoke. It says here, in America, the Hebrew Bible is a conspicuous element of its foundational institutions and laws. The Liberty Bell that sits in Independence Hall in Philadelphia is engraved with an inscription from Leviticus. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. You think young people are learning this in school today in the United States? The inscription that's there beneath the Liberty Bell? A verse from Leviticus? It says here, but now the very idea of the Western nation itself is under sustained assault. The progressive narrative so dominant in Western culture holds that the Western nation is exclusive, racist, and oppressive. They hate their own. They hate their foundations. They hate their own nation. They want to destroy it. That's a communist attack. That's what we discuss in America Under Attack. That's what's in. He was right. The communist infiltration of the United States. It was prophesied. It says here, national laws must therefore be superseded by universal human rights laws promulgated by international judges as well as domestic judges who practice those laws over the laws of their own nation. Globalism, others would say. The democratic process by which those national laws are formed and passed is disdained. And so tear it down from the inside and then adhere to this globalist cause, this international, human rights laws promoted by the radical left abroad. It says here, finally, faced now with a threat to that judicial power, Wormser asserted that the illiberal left in Israel, America, and the West is willing to launch a kind of civil war on some level and burn down the governments in the countries they're in order to ensure that their power is either secured or preserved. It's exactly what my father says here. What we're seeing is how what the radical left is willing to do to attain power and to hold on to it, to grab hold of it, to preserve it, to grow that power. And he was right. You know, who can forget that 1956 quote from Herbert Armstrong, where he talks about the ultimate aim of this communist infiltration. Melanie Phillips says here, finally, in other words, there's no longer a protest against government policy. It represents a fundamental split in the West over how to view the world and how society should be ordered. She says, finally, it is an extremely dangerous inflection point, not just for Israel, but for Western civilization. It's a dangerous inflection point that we're at here. Not just for little Israel in the Middle East, but for the United States, for Britain. She says, in a battle for which Israel's beleaguered government is now revealed to be the unwitting outlier. See, Netanyahu is the extremist, or Donald Trump, he's the extremist. We've got to remove these people. It's not enough to even beat them at the ballot box. We've got to destroy them. That's the spirit of Antiochus. That's the spirit of the devil, the prince of the power of the air. Ephesians 2 and verse 2, there was an article in the New York Times talking about the resurgence of Sigmund Freud. You know, Herbert Armstrong had a lot to say about Sigmund Freud and the influence, the profound influence he had on the old morality swing over to the new morality. And that's what was being described basically on the discussion at The View this morning. This woman that said, I grew up in a household where you were to save yourself for marriage. You weren't to be promiscuous, that sort of thing. But now, I mean, she's so enlightened now. She walks around the house naked. I mean, it's crazy, crazy. The bizarre is now normal. The perverse is now normal. Freud is making a comeback. Well, isn't that just what we need at this time? The New York Times says here, after several decades at the margins of American healthcare and 100 years after he published his last major theoretical work, Sigmund Freud is enjoying something of a comeback. Yeah, they've got a big movie coming out about him. Freud, he was a crackpot. He was mentally deranged. He was crazy in the head. He was a cocaine addict. That's the truth. He was a plagiarist. You go right down the line. He stole ideas from others. You know, you had some kind of problem with this, this, or this, he'd put you on cocaine. It was the cure-all. If you're on morphine, take cocaine too. Why not be addicted to two drugs? How are these the people that shape, you know, the cultural identity of Western nations? It's a good question. It's a good question to consider. Freud's last session, Anthony Hopkins, he's going to be starring in it. It's coming out soon. Yeah, you can be sure Satan loves to celebrate this kind of field. The resurgence of psychoanalysis. Yeah, we got to study the brain, the mind. God gives you everything that you need to know about the human spirit. The reason why with our brains we can think and we can reason quite unlike the animals in the animal kingdom. And then added to that, God tells you, there's a prince of the power of the air who's bombarding that human spirit with his ideas and attitudes and impulses. Are Satan and the demons real? You better believe they are. And look at what they're doing to the minds of men. As I said the other day, Genesis 6 talks about that time prior to the flood and how that the minds of men were on evil continually, violence and evil. You look at how corrupt the judicial system is. Look at the way they go after Netanyahu, and look at how they've gone after Donald Trump. The Manhattan DA, by the way, he lashed out at Trump yesterday in a five-page letter alleging that Donald Trump created the false expectation of an arrest. So it was Trump's statement on Saturday morning, a few days ago. That's the problem here. Not the radical DA, not the Soros-funded DA that wants to destroy Trump no matter what. Trump is the problem. Surprise, surprise. Listen to Joe Scarborough opine on this earlier today, clip three.
We find out that Donald Trump, the grifter, it's always a grift. He teases this out on Sunday.
Well,
he raises $1.5 million. Oh, they're about to arrest me. Send me money. They're about to put me in handcuffs. Send me money. He wants to be in cuffs because he wants to raise more money. What have you and I always told people for 6 years? It's all about the money.
Nice. Nice. After hyperventilating for days, he's about to get arrested. Oh, he's about to get arrested. This is awesome. And now it doesn't happen. And so it was just a money-making scheme. This is from Reuters. It says Manhattan prosecutors on Thursday said Donald Trump misled the people to expect he would be arrested this week and prompted fellow Republicans in Congress to interfere with a probe underway into his hush money payment to porn star Stormy Daniels. Now, it's only been a week, not even a week. You just go back and you look at the timeline. You look at how the propagandists in the media were reporting last Friday, just 7 days ago, and then Donald Trump responding to that on Saturday morning. Friday, March 17. This is from NBC News. NBC, this is the mother company of Scarborough's program there. NBC, it says here, local, state, and federal law enforcement and security agencies are preparing for the possibility that former President Donald Trump will be indicted as early as next week. This was last Friday. And NBC's coming out Friday night saying, hey, he's going to be indicted possibly next week. And law enforcement agencies are being alerted to this. So who exactly was sending out the wrong message? If anyone, it was NBC. This was before Trump ever made a statement. It's amazing, isn't it? Law enforcement agencies are conducting preliminary security assessments, the official said, and are discussing potential security plans in and around the Manhattan Criminal Court at 100 Center Street in case Trump is charged in connection with an alleged hush money payment. This is NBC reporting last Friday. So who's the grifter here? Going back to that Scarborough clip. Who's grifting who? So NBC reports on this and gives a lot of detail, by the way. Yeah, law enforcement here, Manhattan, Florida, could happen as early as next week. We're just, we're preparing you for this indictment and this arrest that we have been so excited about for 7 years. And then Trump sends out a statement the following day saying, yeah, it looks like it's going to be Tuesday. And now the story, because it didn't happen on Tuesday, because it didn't happen this week, because Bragg understands and knows now how ridiculous these charges are, evidently, now Scarborough says, well, Trump just did it for the money. He raked in $1.5 million, which for a political campaign, especially for president, that amounts to like 2 cents, okay? $1.5 million, that's it? So this was a money-making scheme. Okay, got it, right. Listen to this from MSNBC. Same network, probably around the same time as Scarborough said what he said, clip two.
It always seems very obvious to me that even if, okay, today's not the day he's going to get arrested. Maybe Friday isn't the day he's going to go. Maybe Monday's not the day he's going to get arrested. But at some point, you have to realize that is one of these going to result in an actual arrest? Are they mostly just going to be fines? I can't imagine between the civil case and the criminal case and the federal treason cases, one of these doesn't result in him in an orange jumpsuit.
So many clowns, so many different wrinkles to the way they report their narrative. Of course, he's going to end up in an orange jumpsuit. The orange man in the orange jumpsuit, says this guy. And then Scarborough, same time, is saying, now Trump, he's the grifter. He sent that message out. Never mind NBC's report the day before. He sent the message out Saturday in order to make money for his political campaign. Well, as far as the political campaign goes, I thought he was finished. Scarborough said he was finished after the midterms. He's gone. He's never coming back. These people, how do you explain this? Well, this is a timely issue for the trumpet to produce. Are Satan and the demons real? They certainly are. They certainly are. You may have seen the story yesterday. Ray Epps, his attorneys, demanding Tucker Carlson apologize for suggesting that Epps is in some way connected to a federal agency of some kind because he hasn't been arrested, because he was out there calling for people to storm the Capitol. It's pretty amazing. This is from MSNBC. I think it was from yesterday, clip one.
Ray Epps, a name that everyone has become familiar with because of the far right, you know, pro-Trump protester who was at the center of the right-wing conspiracy theories that he was secretly working with the federal government during the attack on the Capitol. Well, he's called on Tucker Carlson and Fox News to retract his, quote, false and defamatory statements alleging he was working with the government. What do you make of this cease and desist from Ray Epps against Fox News?
I think it's a demonstration, finally, I think, that Fox News might begin to be held accountable for the damage they've done to our democracy and the damage they've done to truth. And
they love them some Ray Epps. They sure do. How do you explain that? That for 2 years, the message has been nonstop and consistent. Deadly insurrection, deadly insurrection, and 1,000 people arrested. We got to get 1,000 more. And they applaud that. They love it. They love it. Except in the case of Ray Epps, now he's a hero. He's a hero to the radical left because he's going after Tucker. Never mind. We need to go into the Capitol. That's where the problems are. Never mind any of that. Never mind the fact that he incited the so-called riot that they won't stop talking about. This is from the New York Times. It says here, a lawyer for Ray Epps, the man at the center of a prominent conspiracy theory about the Capitol riot. It's on video, just like the video shows Jacob Chansley walking his way through the Capitol with the police escort. Just like video shows another guy coming in for 50 seconds and having his life then destroyed after the fact. Says here, sent a letter Thursday to Fox News' Tucker Carlson demanding that he publicly retract his false and defamatory statements that Mr. Epps had worked as a government provocateur on January 6, 2021 and helped to instigate the mob attack. The letter to Mr. Carlson is from the lawyer named Michael Teeter. Michael Teeter. We'll get to him a little bit more here in just a second. But first, let me just come back to Julie Kelly. She's the one that has followed, you know, all of this persecution on January 6th protesters, probably more closely than anybody. And she was commenting on one of the Fox shows about this this informant for the FBI that was actually working along with the Proud Boys families undercover, trying to find more dirt. Listen to her as she describes this case that was only revealed in court just this week, clip four.
Just when you think the Department of Justice and FBI can't stoop any lower, they find a new bottom. And the bombshell this week that they had an FBI informant ingratiating herself with not just a few of the defendants in this case, with their attorneys, with their family members. And this FBI informant worked for almost 2 years, really at the start of the investigation, all the way through the beginning of the trial. This completely blindsided the defense team. They were going to call this individual as a witness for the defense today. And the Department of Justice waited until the last minute to tell the defense team their own witness was an FBI informant. And Laura, this is just one of at least 10 to 15 FBI informants who have been embedded in the Proud Boys months before January 6th and now afterwards as well.
Months before and months after. I mean, the defense team. They were prepared to call this individual as a witness working in their favor. And then the FBI, they don't tell the defense until the very last minute. Oh, by the way, that's an FBI agent. That's an FBI informant. This is your FBI today. It's all in Israel. It's get Netanyahu. In the United States, it's get Trump. Just get Trump. That's all that he's got to end up in an orange jumpsuit. Now, Ray Epps, the lawyer I mentioned for him, Michael Teeter, this is from Influence Watch. It says the 65 project, well, this guy, Teeter, he worked for Perkins Coie, okay, and then he's also working currently for David Brock. These are radical leftist organizations. Now, just ask yourself for a moment. Ray Epps, okay, they revere him on the radical left. He shouldn't go to prison. He didn't do anything wrong, even though the video says otherwise. But they do acknowledge he's a Trump supporter. He was out there supporting Trump, right? Well, why does he get this radical leftist attorney if, in fact, he's a member of the MAGA movement, working for David Brock, working for Perkins Coie, and then managing the 65 Project? What's that? This is from Influence Watch. The 65 Project is a campaign targeting lawyers who aided attempts by then-President Donald Trump and his supporters to overturn the 2020 election. This is unbelievable. It's so obvious. I mean, no wonder Tucker won't let this go. Good for him. Good for him to stand up against this. The lawyers mentioned in the New York Times piece. He works for the 65 Project? It says further on, the 65 Project was devised by Democratic consultant and former Clinton administration official Melissa Moss. The 65 Project was launched to punish lawyers who supported President Trump and to dissuade future attempts to overturn elections on illegitimate grounds. So the lawyer, this lawyer representing Ray Epps, remember, was there on Jan 6 as part of the protest, telling protesters, we need to go into the Capitol because that's where our problems are. And what do the Trump supporters around him say? Fed. He's a Fed. He's obviously working for the feds. Of all the thousands that they want to put in prison that were there on January 6th, how is Ray Epps not the first one to go to jail? Well, these are good questions to consider. And again, this is the perfect issue for the trumpet at this moment in time. Are Satan and the demons real? Of course they are. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the program with feedback, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. One third of your Bible is prophecy, and 90% of it is for our time today. This is why, when you study Bible prophecy, you often read statements like, in that day, in the last days, and at the time of the end. Biblical prophecy is what makes the Bible so relevant to today, so essential to understanding our modern world. Most people, even in the world of religion, assume that nations like Britain, America, Germany, Russia, and China are not mentioned in Bible prophecy. But if prophecy is mainly for our time today, how could the Bible ignore some of the most powerful and prominent nations of today? The key to understanding prophecy is knowing the biblical identities of modern nations. Learn about these identities in Herbert W. Armstrong's book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. In this book, you will learn about the astonishing identity of the American and British people in biblical prophecies. Request your free copy today, The United States and Britain in Prophecy.
The Trumpet Daily.
China is funding cannabis production in the United States, Politico reported on March 21st. The number of U.S. cannabis farms funded by sources that trace back to Chinese investors has skyrocketed in recent years, especially in California, Oklahoma, and Oregon. In Oklahoma, close to 2,000 of the state's nearly 7,000 licensed marijuana farms were flagged last year for ties to China, according to the Oklahoma Bureau of Narcotics. The Chinese Communist Party has a long history of trafficking drugs to enemy nations. Drugs are destroying America's willpower. But while the CCP is facilitating and profiting from America's self-destruction, the blame ultimately lies with the depravities of the American people. For more than 2 months, millions of French citizens have protested President Emmanuel Macron's plans to raise the retirement age from 62 to 64. Protests intensified recently, despite brutal crackdowns by the police. But instead of backing down, Macron has become more dictatorial. Last Thursday, he announced that he would raise the retirement age by executive decree. This declaration led to a no-confidence vote this week that he barely survived. Authoritarian leadership is on the rise in Europe, and this trend is leading toward the fulfillment of a key Bible prophecy. Revelation 17 predicts that 10 kings, or strong leaders, will rise in Europe during this end time, following in the tradition of the Holy Roman Empire. North Korea simulated a nuclear counterattack on March 19th, according to North Korean state media. A ballistic missile equipped with a mock nuclear warhead was successfully detonated above the East Sea. The Korean Central News Agency reported that the test was intended to show the United States and South Korea how North Korea would respond if it were invaded. North Korea routinely uses exercises between America and South Korea as an excuse to test missiles and train its nuclear command. This aggressive behavior is heavily backed by Russia and China, who are the source of North Korea's nuclear capability. Bible prophecy warns that their nuclear cooperation will be catastrophic for the world. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
There's your current news installment for this week, our Friday tradition now. Pretty soon we're going to have a Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday tradition as well for the mid part of the show. But of course, Tuesdays is the segment for news of the work, and then of course Friday we reserve that little slot for current news. So the other day, and this kind of just ties in with quite a lot of what we've covered all week, and again, what was in the April issue of the Trumpet magazine, this one as well, the month before, on all of the fakery and phoniness in the world today. I went through Isaiah 1, the sickness from head to toe, and there's a faintness in the heart. There's just no strength. There's no health. There's no national vitality. And that's why you see what's happening in Israel or what's happening in the United States. Or as you saw in the news there, you see the drug addictions. And here it's fueled by or at least sponsored by China. And China benefits. China makes money off all of these cannabis farms. So many of them right here in Oklahoma, just all over the place. And not to mention the stores selling the cannabis. Where we really and truly, in more ways than one, we really and truly are a sick nation. That's the way the Bible describes it. And the sickness is there, of course, because of sin, because of our sins. Sins bring on curses. Sins bring on sickness. The Isaiah booklet, my father's booklet, he says, God's church and the nations of Israel are destroying the physical family, which should be patterned after God's family. It says, soon all nations shall flow to Zion, where God's family law is taught. Those who deeply learn the lesson today about God's family government will be teaching all nations in the very near future. I mean, you listen to some of these demons talk about trans this or these rights that we need to fight or this kind of equity or whatever it is. There's this underlying aim to destroy the traditional family. And of course, you can read about this in communist writings, communist ideology. They want to destroy the family, so everyone's dependent on the government, big government. Welfare state, Isaiah 3 and verse 9, it says, the show of their countenance does witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. See, there's just no shame. I mean, some of the things that are just now openly discussed on programs like The View or wherever, there's no shame, there's no embarrassment for any kind of human behavior. The only problem in the whole of the nation is Donald Trump. You remove him and I guess we're in a Garden of Eden utopia. This is the modern Romans issue. I don't know if I have that still here on the table, but that's going back to February. Here we are. The modern Romans, February, all of these issues so far this year have been so timely, just perfect. Ready for war in January, modern Romans, the fake world in March, and now this. Are Satan and the demons real? From that modern Romans issue. My father says here, Seneca warned that family breakdown would destroy the empire. And keep in mind, the whole of the issue basically is warning us, America and Britain, that we're going the way of Rome. And Rome, the empire finally did collapse. It did happen. That is history. Have we learned from that history? He talks about one of the Roman prophets, if you could call him that, Seneca. Sadly, however, the Romans, like Americans today, began to turn to a new morality that no longer valued marriage and family. See, they had their own pendulum swing from the old morality to the new. They went from a point where they upheld the traditions of family, the institution of family, but then they swung over to a new morality extreme. Says today, divorces are stunningly easy to get, yet most people have rejected the law of cause and effect. We think we can discard marriage and family and suffer no consequences. This is from the February issue. The history of Rome ought to be a shrill warning about the inevitable fruits of such family breakdown. I mean, this should be a 5-alarm warning. The fact that the family has broken down. I played that montage for you the other day. You know, all of these mentally disturbed people standing up in a court somewhere in Florida or some room where they testified in favor of trans this, trans that, mutilating our bodies. What is happening to us? I mean, this is some kind of sickness. My father talks, or he spends a fair bit of time in Isaiah 3 in that same article. This is from Joel Hilliker's piece, These Violent Delights. It says, the parallels with pleasure-mad, distracted America today are telling and ominous. I mean, they're addicted to pleasure today, just like when Rome was collapsing. That's 2 Timothy 3. I'll give you some of that in just a second. Mr. Hilliker says, America is following Rome's example, not just in its addiction to entertainment, but also in the fact that this craze is distracting us from nation-threatening problems. It's like I've said on the last two shows in the first segment. Here, the clowns are out in full force talking about crazy things, even as you see these nation-threatening problems all around us. What is particularly jarring is that right now America faces a leftist government that is trashing our Constitution, discarding the Bill of Rights, jailing dissenters, imposing censorship, stealing elections, permitting unchecked illegal immigration, sinking the nation in debt, sending inflation soaring, sabotaging energy production, destroying public education, trashing history. This is all happening. Who can deny it? Changing the nature of our republic. Someone else said, fundamentally transform the United States of America. It's happening. It's happening. In some ways, you can say it has happened. It's done. It's finished. It says, and those in power are getting away with these things because nobody is holding them to account. You stand up against it, and you've got the whole of the radical left coming against you, like Netanyahu in Israel and like Donald Trump here in the United States. It says, finally, when the public is wrapped up in nonsense, they ignore real problems. They're wrapped up in nonsense. They're wrapped up in the vulgar, the extreme perversities of our day. They just love it. I just read you Isaiah 3 and verse 9. The sins of Sodom, and it's not just that we have them, we declare them. We preach those sins. We love it. We're proud of it. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers." It goes on, "without natural affection, no self-control, lovers of pleasures," verse 4 says, "more than lovers of God." Hosea 13 and verse 9, it says, "O Israel, you have destroyed yourself." See, we're doing this to ourselves. I mean, there's plenty of problems without, on the outside, but look at the problems we've just brought on ourselves. Hosea also said, "But in me is your help. I will be your king. Where is any other that may save you in all your cities?" Who else could save us but God? God's pleading with his people. He's pleading with the nations of Israel. He's saying, "In me there's help." Of course, we know about 2 Kings 14 as well, where it says God has to intervene and save us by the hand of Jeroboam, because there's no helper. There's no helper. There's no assistance. The affliction, it's so bitter in the United States and Britain in prophecy. Here again, just to draw your attention briefly to Herbert Armstrong's classic prophetic work. It was written more than 50, 60 years ago, and it's gone right around the world. 6 million households, 6 million plus households have received this book. And here's a quote from it. It says, "The prophecies do not stop with revealing the unprecedented multiplied intensity of punishment already beginning to descend upon America and Britain. It says the prophecies record also the result of that intensified punishment. The result will be a corrected people. The result will be an eye-opening realization of what we have done to ourselves." At some point, soon, in the future, there will be an awakening. It's not going to happen the way the conservative right thinks that it will with the re-election of Trump or whatever. It's going to happen after correction, after punishment. And then finally we'll wake up as the people of Israel and realize what we've done to ourselves, what we've done to the blessings of God. It says here, "The supreme punishment will teach us at last our lesson. The punishment will break our spirit of rebellion. It will lift us up from the cesspool of rottenness and evil into which we have sunk." I mean, this is a positive and hopeful ending. This gives us some insight into why punishment, why correction. Read in Hebrews 12, where God says, "Look, a father punishes because he loves. He corrects a child because he loves that child." To not correct, to not punish, to not teach, to not educate, well, that's certainly not showing God's love. Not at all. There is a purpose for godly correction. And U.S. and Britain in prophecy, Herbert Armstrong, in this section I'm quoting to you, he describes it perfectly. The purpose for divine punishment, he says finally, "It will teach us the way to glorious peace, prosperity, abundant well-being." Further on, he writes, "Our peoples have basic lessons yet to learn. The true values are spiritual." These are some of the lessons that we're going to be reinforcing and teaching for all of eternity, certainly through the world tomorrow, the wonderful world tomorrow, when Christ will be on this earth as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He'll be married to the bride, the church of God, and they'll be bringing billions and billions of children into the God family. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining us on this last show of the week. We thank you for joining us all week, so many of you, and we'll see you next time.